you this morning, if you turn with us over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 880, 881. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Ezekiel 37. Verse number 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and though they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. You may be seated this morning. Brother Mike, would you pray for me before I preach this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Notice, if you would, in the text of Ezekiel 37, he said unto me, talking to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. I want to preach on this subject today on He's Got the Answer. He's got the answer. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number 1, a little background about Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet that God has called upon the scene. The children of Israel has been taken captive by Babylon. God brought Ezekiel in that day and hour to preach to His people. Ezekiel, no doubt, was an unusual Bible character. If you'll notice in chapters about 1 through 3 that God had called him, Brother Adam, and he told him to lay on his right side some 340 days and not say a word. Then he told him, I want you to change over, lay on your left side, and I want you to lay there 40 or 50 days, and the people of God would come to the old prophet wanting a word from God, but the Lord had his mouth closed. The Lord had nothing to say to them people. You know, a lot of folks, they preach about the love of God, and He is a God of love, but they forget about He is a God of wrath, and He is a God of responsibility. The children of Israel, they brought idols in the house of God, and they quit praising the Jehovah of our Bible, and they ran to men, and they began to worship them and brought things in. It reminds me of the day in which we live in our country. But God was silent. And so God allowed Ezekiel, when the Lord wanted to say something, He would give him a message. He would speak to the elders of the land, and they would go and diverse with that message. I liked in the early chapters of Ezekiel, the Bible said that Ezekiel stomped his foot and told him what God said. Let me tell you, a preacher that won't stomp his foot, he's not in the preaching business. It ought to be time that the men of God stand up and say, "What thus saith the Word of God?" Because the Bible's still right in this day and this hour. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And Jesus is the way to heaven. He's not some way. He's the only way to get to where God is this morning. So we see Ezekiel the prophet. We probably the greatest chapter that I'm preaching out of that everybody remembers and realizes about Ezekiel in 37. But notice if you would this morning on preaching on He's Got the Answer. Now, first of all, you'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 37, there was a valley involved. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Look what He does. He carried him out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bone. I hear a lot of people, they make comments about, they're just in the valley and so they need to get a hold of themselves and get out of the valley. And I understand that. It's easy preaching, but it's hard living. You see, Ezekiel found himself in a valley. I wonder, is there anybody here today, you feel like sort of that you've been in a valley? Maybe in your Christian life you got saved and you was on the mountaintop, but now you find yourself in a valley. I want to say, don't think it's strange, because first of all, you'll notice that he was led into the valley. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord carried me out, and He set me down in the midst of the valley." You know, here we see that Ezekiel was led to the valley. A lot of times we must realize that God leads us into the valley. In the valley, we learn a lot of things that we cannot learn up on the mountain. So here in this valley, he was led. But I'm going to say in this valley, he was low. It was a valley. He was not up on the mountain. In our Christian experience, everything's not on top of the mountain. But aren't you glad that if God leads you down in the valley, you're not there by yourself? I'm glad there's a God that sees about us, not only on the mountains, but way down in the valley. So we see here in this valley, he was led. He was very low. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. He was lingering, for the Lord set him in the valley. He couldn't get out of it. I hear a lot of people say, "Well, just move on." Sometimes you can't move on. And so here, watch your Bible now. It's a strong term. And he set me down. A lot of times I believe the reason a valley comes so that God can set us down so we can look up. A lot of people that think, "Oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing in this valley." God has got this valley for you and me this morning. He set him down. This valley he was led. This valley was low, but this valley was lingering. He found himself every day in this valley. And I want to say fourthly about this valley, it was literal. It was the real deal. Ezekiel found himself in this valley. Have you ever noticed in your Christian experience, whatever circumstance has brought you, but you find yourself in this valley, and it's literal. It is so real. So Ezekiel the prophet, we find out in verse 1 there was a valley. But now we'll notice, secondly, not only is there a valley, now you're going to find there is a vision. Look what he does with him. He set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, in other words, he got a good look of it. Here, Ezekiel, we see this vision. And look what he saw. In verse number 1, he said, "In the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, Can you imagine? Now, God's got you in this valley and He gives you this vision. He wants you to notice, and He looks and He sees this valley full of bones. Now, in this vision, I want you to notice, first of all, He saw the relics of the past. Relics of the past. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, He saw bones. There once had been life. It had been life there. But now they're simply relics of the past. Bones. That used to have life. That used to could get things accomplished. But now in this vision, He looks and He sees these relics of the past. And I want to tell you something. A lot of the commentators said this. He looked down in this valley and He saw all these bones, and that maybe had been where the Babylonians had come and through a great battle had killed the children of Israel. And as I look around the landscape today in this valley, I see things and I see people and I see places that was full of life, but now it's just bones. It used to have life. I've been out in the woods hunting. A lot of you hunters have noticed this. You've walked up. There's a carcass that's been totally diminished. It's gone, and all you see is the bones. Well, what does that mean? It means there was life there. Reminds me of a lot of people. You used to have life in you. Now you're just a relic of the past. You're living on the life that you used to have. But let me tell you, we don't have to live on the relics of the past. Hey, there's something better than just getting through right now. We can be what God wants us to be and who God wants us to be and be how God wants us to be. I'm glad I'm not living on the relics of the past. About my, I used to have life, but thank God I got a little life kicking in me this morning. The relics of the past. There used to be life, but now there is bones. It reminds me of ministries. Used to have the fire of God in their churches. A man of God would get up and preach. My goodness, how so many ministries, Brother Adam, now they're just bones laying in a valley. They're there simply, they're just relics of the past. I'm reminded not only about ministries, but I'm reminded about marriages. I still believe a man ought to be married to a woman. Somebody say amen. And next Tuesday, Brother Mike, I've noted in my mental calendar, will be December the 8th. You know what that is? Brother Jason, that's going to be a landmark of 41 years. That we've been married. And I'm glad that my marriage this morning is not just on the account of the relics of the past. I'm glad we still got a grin. I'm glad we still got a nod. I'm glad we still got some life. Am I preaching to anybody this morning, honey? Let me tell you, God wants us to enjoy what we have now and not live on what we used to be or what we used to have. I got ready to walk out this morning. She said, "Woo, the back of you sure is wrinkled." I said, "Well, I'll just stay toward the front of the people all day." Thank God we got some life in our marriage. Sometimes the grandbabies that come in, they'll sit down there on the couch or the recliner, and I'll have to knock them out to give Miss Renee a hug. I say, "Pop, what are you doing?" I say, "I'm loving on my wife." Somebody say amen. My goodness, so many marriages, they just bones, just living on the relics of the past. Ministries. Marriages. People that used to have life. Do you remember in the church services where you used to would say amen? Do you remember when you used to pray? And do you remember when you used to read your Bible? Do you remember when you enjoyed the house of God? Quit living on the relics of the past and realize that God has hope for this day and this hour. You see, in this vision, God let him see something. He's seen bones. He's seen the relics of the past. But look in verse 2. It really spoke to my heart. He said, He caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Not only in this vision, there's the relics of the past. But there's the remains of the present. There were very many in the open valley. In other words, they couldn't hide it. It was open for everybody to see. And here, in this vision, you'll notice that the remains that were present, they were very many. Don't think it's strange if you feel like you're the only one in the valley this morning. Because there's very many in this valley. I preached last week on a word fitly spoken. It does matter what we say and how we say. There are a lot of people in the valley. We're not to belittle that situation. And it's open to everybody. Everybody knows you can't cover it up. You know, it gives me hope. Brother Mike, these bones were not buried. They're just laying bleached by the sun, white and shiny. Could you imagine as Ezekiel stepped on that battlefield and he seen all these bones of days gone by? They had fought great battles and they have lost a lot of battles. Honey, let me tell you something. You may be living for God. You may be standing for your family. And you feel like you've only got bones left. But I come to tell you, don't bury it yet. There is hope in the blood of Calvary. I'm glad Jesus can do anything this morning. Boy, there's been a lot of time, but I sure am glad there's an open valley. I'm sure am glad, Brother Nick, nobody ain't covered me up, kicked me in a hole, and dumped dirt on me. Somebody say amen. There's always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this vision, not only did Ezekiel see the relics of the past, not only did he see the remains of the present, but look what the Bible says. He's seen the records of the process, and they were very dry. They wouldn't say a word. Very dry. There's been sometimes, Brother Lee, when I was preaching, I wish somebody would just make a holy grunt. Sometimes I wish somebody just throw the hand. Brother Mike, many of you that's preached on Facebook, you can notice them thumbs up, how it encourages you. Every now and then you look at that camera and people's doing them thumbs up. I remember I was preaching here one Wednesday night by myself and somebody hit a frowny face. I said, I ain't a looking at that camera no more, Brother Darrell. I ain't a looking no more. I ain't looking at it. You're going to make me jump up in that photo screen. Somebody say amen. But oh, they was very dry. Very dry. Could you imagine? God has brought Ezekiel to a place and he let him look around and all he seen was death. All he could see is the relics of the past. Thirdly, this morning, not only Ezekiel and his valley, Ezekiel and his vision, but notice with me in the Bible, you'll see Ezekiel and the voice. In verse number 3, he took him out of this place, and look what your Bible said, and he said unto me, I'm glad we got a God can say something to us individually. He said something to me. Isn't it amazing that the God of this Bible would say something to you and me? And he said something to me. Has God ever said anything to you? Let me tell you, if God ever says something to you, to always be right. You're lost. You're lost. Or you need this. So this voice, there's the appearance. He said unto me, but now watch this. I pulled my title out of this verse. Not only this appearance, but look now at his apprehension. This is what he said. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? There's a little apprehension there. I believe you thought about that a minute. I believe you thought about what God had just asked him. God's appeared, and the first thing he says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Let me ask you something. Has God ever asked you a hard question? Have you ever had a hard question in your life? And I'm going to tell you, not only in this voice do we see the appearance and the apprehension, but look at the answer. It's the best answer I've ever heard. This is what he simply said. He said, oh Lord God, thou knowest. Aren't you glad we got a God this morning that knows everything? And when you've got a question and you don't have the answer, I'm glad the God of this Bible knows what we need. Lord, thou knowest. He might ask me, Ken, why? And I found the greatest answer I know to reply. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Aren't you glad we can trust a God that knows? You say, preacher, I've got a question. Why am I sick? Lord, thou knowest. Preacher, I'm in this valley. Why? Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, our country is in dire straits. Why? Lord, I'm glad the Lord that knows lives in me this morning. When you don't know, He does know. And when the one you're talking with don't know, He knows. Ezekiel, pretty smart fella, wasn't he? Lord, oh Lord. Thou knowest, and I want to say, I rest my heart upon that answer this morning. Lord, thou knowest. Do you know this God that knows it all? Lord, thou knowest. So we see this voice, we see this appearance, this apprehension, this answer, but now notice this address. He tells him what to do, and it sounds real strange. He tells him simply this. He says, prophesy. Prophesy upon these bones. In other words, he says, I want you to preach to them. Don't belittle preaching. There's a lot of people. They've accused me and stabbed and jabbed Brother Ty. But God has chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, I want you to notice this. God tells him to prophesy, or he tells him to preach. It had to be a strange, strange request. Not only this voice, but look at verse 7, there was a vigilance. Let's look at it in verse 4 again. He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God in these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 7. Not only the voice, but the vigilance. Look at it. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. Now the vigilance. Watch this in verse 4. You'll notice there was simply an obligation. Again, he said unto me, I wonder what he's telling you to do. He didn't tell anybody else to do this. It was Ezekiel's assignment. And let me tell you something. As good as many as we have at this church that are great people, great Christians, love God, and just real people, everybody has an individual assignment. And so, in this vigilance, there was obligation. He said unto me, I wonder, are you going to mind what he says do? And it don't even make sense. Now, I mean, he didn't tell him to go kick the bones. He didn't tell him to go cover them up. He said, I just want you to preach to them. I want you to prophesy. That word means preach. I want you to preach to them bones. Can I tell you that preaching brings life? So there was this obligation. And then look in verse 7, there was obedience. I love what he done. So I prophesied as I was commanded. God has told me a lot of things that didn't make sense. But when I minded him, it worked out. Can I say that? God may ask you to do some strange things, and it may seem useless. But God knows what He's doing. So watch your Bible. There was a obligation. There was obedience. But in verse 7, watch this. There was an observation. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Preacher, what are you saying? Don't miss this morning. Ezekiel saw death, but he preached life. Ezekiel saw death, but he preached life. He minded God. Preachers, many times, God will give us a text. It is a specific text. We are to preach it. We are to mind Him. Doesn't matter if anybody's saying a word or not. Ezekiel didn't have many amens coming his way. Teachers, when it seems like nobody else is paying attention, just mind the Lord. Christian, when it seems like that nobody's paying attention and you know God has told you to do this, mind Him. Because look what happens. There is victory. Not only this vigilance, but lastly there is victory. Look in verse 9. And He told him to do something. He said unto me, prophesy or preach unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Let me tell you, all the preaching in America that's going on, there's something missing. It's the breath of God. You know, you'll notice that these bones came together. It reminds me of a lot of organizations. bones came together, but God hadn't breathed in it and there was no life in it. I believe He's a God of order. I believe He's a God of structure. I believe we ought to have that in our church. But let me tell you, when God tells us to do something, we chunk the program and just mind God. These bones came together, but it was no life in them. He said, well, Ezekiel, this is what you do. You got to ask the breath, the Spirit of God to help you. I believe unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, it is all in vain. Unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down, it is all in vain. Now watch this. I'm going to close this sermon. Not only do we see this vigilance, but now we see this victory. He starts preaching and he says, come, O breath. Oh, how we need the breath of God in this day, in this hour. Do you remember when God created Adam? He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Sinner, has the Spirit of God ever breathed life into you and made you alive to the things of God? Come, O breath. Could we all leave this morning and say, come, O breath. God, we need you. We need the Holy Ghost to bring life. This victory, you'll notice the breath was called. He simply said in verse number 9, come from the four winds, O breath. The breath was called. And then verse 10, the breath came. Look what it says. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them. The Word brings life this morning. You see, the breath was called, the breath came, but lastly, the breath changed. Look what it says. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet an exceeding great army. This is what I want to tell you this morning. Do you remember when Ezekiel, Miss Emily, I want you to come just sing us something today. Do you remember when Ezekiel went out in this valley and he looked at all these bones laying every place? God told him to preach. No doubt he wondered, but he preached anyway. And then God said, I tell you what you need to do about your preaching. You need to ask the breath of God to come in on your preaching. And when he asked for the help of the breath of God, the breath came, but the breath changed. So this is what I want to say. He can put it back together again. Some of you, you see your life with just bones scattered. But let me tell you, the Spirit of God can put it back together again. I couldn't tell you the times, and I want to be real honest with you. You can ask my wife. There's never been a time that I enjoy being here preaching to you. Never been a time, Brother Tommy, as this time. I love what God has called me to do. And I love the people that He's called me to do it with. But I want to say this. There's been some times I've come in that door. I've come in that door and this door. You say, why didn't you come in that door? Because I don't park on that side. There's times I've come in and said, God, I'm so dry. And I need the breath of God to help me this morning. And the Word of God would go out. Life would come. Brother Tim said this morning during singing, do you have peace? I know the peace giver today. I did a lot of things I'm ashamed of. I was sitting in a service this week. in a morning service. Wouldn't need my time to preach. And the pastor said, does God want anybody to say anything? And Brother Mike, he swole up in me so bad. And I stood up and I said, many of y'all don't know me. But over 30 years ago, I got to running with the wrong crowd. I got to doing a lot of things that I'm ashamed of this morning, and I got addicted. And when I wanted to leave that stuff alone, it wouldn't leave me alone. And that's what I said. I said, but I come to tell you today, my past haunts me. But my past don't hold me. I'm glad there's a God that's brought life to broken things, discarded. The life had gone. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God had breathed life into you again? And let you enjoy who God is in this day and this hour. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you've never been saved, dead in trespasses and sins, and the Spirit of God spoke life into your soul this morning? Come, oh breath. Some of you are in a great valley today. And Lord, Thou knowest. Can I tell you before I leave, Lord, Thou knowest. He knows where we are. Could we ask Him for His help this morning by the Spirit of God? Lord, would You fix some things in my valley? My sister's going to sing.